The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you this afternoon?
Good afternoon, and I come bearing good news. You know, 2 weeks ago we did the mass walk out on Twitter in protest of online anti-Semitism, and I've just received a press release that TikTok, and I have to confess I'm not on TikTok, has banned, along with YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, the French comedian Diodon, who is notorious for anti-Semitism. You know, in the past, he has mocked victims of the Holocaust. He has used appalling and dehumanizing terms about Jews, and he is now officially banned. So it looks like social media are starting to take our concerns, and this is multiple platforms, very, very seriously. I know that there was a campaign headed by the Simon Wiesenthal Center to get Facebook to adopt IHRA, that's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism, one that has been adopted by several countries to adopt IHRA, the IHRA definition. And while they haven't done it so far, we have heard very encouraging words from Sheryl Sandberg, who's the COO of Facebook. So, you know what? Sometimes it helps to be silent, but after being silent, we do still have to use our voices.
Finally, Rolene, finally, because this is long overdue, and the social media is clearly a cause of a lot of the rot. So I'm glad to hear it. What I am surprised is that it's TikTok. I didn't expect that. I would have thought an American-owned company would have responded more quickly than a Chinese-owned one. But, hey, that is just an interesting bit of information. All right, you're going to talk to us about Kamala Harris, who I must say I've just spoken about a little bit. So what's your take on her connection to Israel?
Well, of course, everybody's been waiting with bated breath to hear who Joe Biden has picked for his potential vice president should he beat the Trump and Pence ticket when it comes to the November elections. And he announced yesterday, American time, which was early in the morning here, that he has chosen Kamala Harris. And it's been fascinating to see the response. Kamala Harris is somebody who is known to be very pro-Israel. I'm sure you've spoken about the fact that she's married to a Jew, she's stepmother to Jewish stepchildren. But it's, you know, we always look at who the potential incoming leadership of the United States are and where they stand vis-a-vis Israel. So she is a very, very positive friend of Israel. She's known to be a friend of Israel. She has taken a stand on numerous occasions against BDS. She's also backed the Iran deal, which is something that the Obama administration necessarily did not support. She has addressed AIPAC. In fact, it was quite amusing to see, as predicted, the anti-Semites coming out on some social media saying, oh, well, she's been picked by AIPAC, and she's shot down any language that has said that aid to Israel needs to be conditioned on certain political spheres. So she is a friend of Israel. It looks very interesting. What is quite interesting is a meme going around that says BH, and you know, those of us who know what BH stands for, it's Baruch Hashem. So for some it might be Baruch Hashem, new leadership. For some it's Baruch Hashem because we're Jewish, and for some it's just Biden Harris. So it is going to be a very, very interesting race to watch. I mean, you would have thought by now we would have heard, you know, some debates, a lot more strong language. It's going to be very interesting to see how debates play out, which will probably have to happen via Zoom or with very, very careful coordination. But the race is on.
What is absolutely fascinating is there seems to be this dualism within the Democratic Party at the moment. So on the one hand, Joe Biden choosing to run with Kamala Harris. On the other hand, the squad being returned in their primaries, or the equivalent of the primaries, whatever you want to call them. I believe Ilhan Omar won. I believe Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib all back in the race.
Yes, so Omar Tlaib and AOC, as they call her, have all won their primaries and they are firmly entrenched, as has a Republican candidate for the state of Georgia. She has won her primary. She is known to have supported very, very anti-Semitic and very anti-Muslim kind of rhetoric. So we are seeing some from the far left and the far right, you know, surfacing in American politics, which is extremely worrying. But then, you know, I do have to reiterate that America is Israel's strongest ally. The level of cooperation and friendliness between the two countries is quite extraordinary. And Israel still continues to enjoy bipartisan support from the American government. And we can't forget that Kamala Harris and many others were part of the Democratic delegation that visited Israel last year. You know, there was the controversy because Talib and Omar elected to do their own tour that was clearly there to push the BDS agenda. But they are a minority within the Democratic Party, and we can't forget that the majority of the Democratic Party, no matter how vocal and how loud these congresswomen are, still very, very, very strongly and very vocally support Israel.
I want to move on to an article in the Times of Israel this afternoon where apparently Sara Netanyahu claims that she's been battered and that she's experienced sexual violence from protests. What is she talking about?
Well, I actually don't have enough words to express my dismay at this kind of language from Sara Netanyahu. She's referring to comments from a journalist who said that she engaged perhaps in sexual activity to, you know, to advance herself. And some of the balloons that have been featured at protests, she has said, I've yet to see any pictures of them, have been somewhat phallic in their nature. And she says she feels like she has been battered and sexually abused. And it is profoundly offensive to all victims of domestic violence or gender-based violence, rape and abuse. It's also profoundly offensive to men who have been victims of abuse. As somebody who is part of the leading women's organization in this country, and we have had Sara Netanyahu visit our shelters, it is profoundly offensive to us. It's profoundly offensive to the women and the children who are in our shelters. And we've also heard from Na'amat, which is the women's organization that is aligned with the Histadrut, with the labor unions. She has said that Sara Netanyahu, describing herself as a battered woman, is cheapening the concept. And Mrs. Netanyahu, who has visited women's shelters in the past, knows this. So this is an appalling, appalling and highly offensive statement from Sara Netanyahu. And there's no doubt that the excoriation that is coming from the media is only going to get worse after this kind of comment.
And I'm thinking that a comment like that can only reasonably be interpreted to be that she is actually just taking strain. And I see that Bibi also is giving the Attorney General a hard time, saying he's doing nothing about protecting his family. I would imagine the Israeli First Family is feeling very highly threatened at the moment.
Well, they are. They have been backed into a corner. And it really doesn't help the Prime Minister's legal case to have his wife and also his son coming out and attacking the press. You know, unfortunately, if you are a public figure, press scrutiny is what you sign up for. We've seen many figures around the world, public figures, you know, deal with having to face. And yes, sometimes it is unfair press scrutiny. But this kind of language, especially at a time when gender-based violence statistics are growing, not just in Israel, but around the world, is profoundly, profoundly hurtful.
Rolene, gosh, there's so much to talk to you about today. I do want to find out about the South. I also want to find out if Gantz is fine after his back operation.
He's fine. He's back to work.
Okay. Well, that deals with that. So good. So we can move on to the South.
Yes, we got a... we got an announcement that he has just resumed his duties as defense minister. You know, defense minister, you are allowed to take at least a couple of hours off to heal and feel better. But duty calls, and he's there to serve the country. But what's happening in the south, last night, the IDF struck targets within the Gaza Strip in response to at least 60 fires that were started by arson balloons yesterday. Today, we've counted so far 12 fires started by these incendiary devices. And in an effort to try and de-escalate it, the Mossad has appealed to Qatar to allow in financial aid so that at least we can try and de-escalate the situation. We don't want to be in a situation where we have another conflagration. But doing its job is the Lahav ore, which is the laser beam that takes out these incendiary balloons, these arson balloons, and it's been working really, really hard to protect the citizens of the South. And before I let you go, Simon, because I know we'll have a date again tomorrow, I just ask for everybody to keep the residents, the citizens, and especially the farmers of the South in your thoughts and prayers. This is their livelihood that is being threatened and their homes.
Amen to that. Rolene Marks, like you said, same time tomorrow. You and me, we're on. We have a date.
We have a date.